Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, everybody. It is actually Wednesday. I'm pre-recording. I know. I don't normally do that. However, I am leaving early in the morning to Kansas City. I'm going home. There is no place like home. I've got my little red slippers on, and I'm on my way. And I almost feel like bursting into song, but my throat's been so wacky lately, I'm not going to do it. I will save you the pain of me singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But I'm doing a 3-day event down in Kansas. I think there's going to be about 200, 250 people there. So I'm excited about that. Can't wait to see you people in Kansas. And so that's going to be awesome. And today's show, I'm going to talk about friendship. I was thinking about what's been going on for me this week. And there's been a lot going on. A lot of friends have come and gone in the house and had some really, really interesting, just great stuff going on. So what I want to do is I want to start, though, with a little song. What do you think? Because I always say that we should have a band each and every time that I'm on this microphone, especially for my 30-minute show. So for those of you that are brand new, I know loads of people, thousands, in fact, have joined the Kick-Ass Live podcast. We're seeing a massive spike. So either you guys are out there sharing this, which is what I asked you to do last week, or people are finding it through some miraculous means. But the band today, I asked Jen, give me a band. And she said, this is the band that's on my bucket list. The next concert I want to see. Here we go. See if you can guess. You guessing already? Come on. You can guess.
When she was just a girl, she expected the world. She ran away in her sleep. Dream of paradise.
Did you guess? Yep, it's Coldplay. And so today I thought we'd talk about friendship. I have a great honor. One of my good friends has asked me to officiate his wedding. I'm popping down to Mexico after Kansas. And we're down in San Miguel and officiating a wedding. For those of you that have heard my horror story of the most embarrassing time of my life, and what really got me into this business was when I emceed a wedding. And I'm actually emceeing and officiating. Officiating means that I'm actually acting as the priest. I'm the vicar. Hello, vicar. I am the rabbi. You know, I'm the guy. And so, but I'm having to write it, you know, and it's really beautiful because this is for a very special guy, and some of you already know him. I mean, he's a very, very well-known author. But if you haven't got his notes from the universe, I would suggest you go to tut.com. And he's been on our show, if you haven't listened to him, Mike Dooley. And what a great honor, though, to be asked to actually give away someone you love and then be instrumental in that wedding, but being allowed to write their whole process. So if you got any thoughts or any comments, got a couple of days here. If there's any little ceremonies or things that you've seen at a wedding that you think are just something I should know about, you can Facebook me or you can contact me through my message system on Facebook. The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Anyway, I thought, you know, when I was actually looking at that, I started doing a little bit more research on Mike, and I looked over his bio and I found out that one of his favorite books is actually a favorite book of mine. It's one I refer to a lot, especially if someone's lost someone. I often refer them to go and read a chapter from this book, and they're really verses, and it's called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And I'll read you the one on friendship. It says, your friend is your needs answered. Here's your field which you sow with love and reap with thanksgiving. Here's your board and your fireside, for you come to him with your hunger and you seek him for peace. When your friend speaks his mind, you fear not the nay in your own mind, nor do you withhold the A. And when he is silent, your heart ceases not to listen to his heart. For without words in friendship, all thoughts, all desires, all expectations are born and shared with joy that is unacclaimed. When you part from your friend, you grieve not. For that which you love most in him may be clearer in his absence, as the mountain to the climber is clearer from the plain. And let there be no purpose in friendship save deepening of the spirit. For love that seek aught but the disclosure of its own mystery is not love, but a net cast forth, and only the unprofitable is caught. And let your best be for your friend. If he must know the ebb of your tide, let him know its flood also. For what is your friend that you should seek him with only hours to kill? Seek him always with hours to live. For it is his to fill your need, but not your emptiness. And in the sweetness of friendship, let there be laughter and sharing of pleasure. For in the dew of little things, the heart finds its morning and is refreshed. What do you think, guys? Is that pretty awesome? I think so. What do you think? Time for a song? Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king is dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key. Next the walls were closed on me. And I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of sand, pillars of sand. So let's talk about friendship. You know, there's so much in there, and I know that for some of you, when I read that, because of the way it's written, I mean, this guy wrote this book almost 100 years ago. So, you know, it's a different language. I understand that. But if you really have to sort of look into the beauty of those words. And you can go online and put in the prophet and look in under friendship and reread it. But there's so many things in there about, you know, if he must know your ebb of your tide, let him also know the flood also. But I mean, this whole idea of truth in friendship. And I realized, I said this the other night, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine that was staying here. And I said, listen, you know, all of my friends have felt my wrath. We've had hard conversations. And I define friendship as being that place where, you know, it's not just always just that good stuff. It's, you know, there's times. I mean, if you really are in relationship with someone like you are with a lover, then, you know, there's a wonderful pleasure I think I have in being completely truthful, right? And in being in that place where I can share every part of me, including the part that is not my most enlightened part, or including the part that's about truth. And those of you already know, I've said this so many times about, you know, speak the truth, tell the truth all the time with compassion. And so how do you enter into a relationship with someone if you're not willing to speak that truth? And so if you're upset or hurt, or if there's stuff going on and you need to speak it, there's things you're uncertain about, or things you're upset about. And I think that a lot of people, what they do is when there's something going wrong, they either do one or two things. They'll pretend it's not going wrong and enter into a superficial stone skimming relationship. I there's so many people. I mean, I see that. And, you know, nothing against you Americans. You know, you're good. But there is a thing in America which is kind of different, which is you meet someone for 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, we're friends. You know, friendship is born very quickly and forgotten very quickly, I find, in America. Whereas, you know, I think that real friendship is born in the, you know, it's born in the fires, it's born in the fun stuff and the relationships, but it has to be born in truth, where, you know, you stand naked in front of your friends. There's nothing hidden. There is no closets within you that have hidden stuff. Because I think a friend is going to know all about you and exactly what you're like and love you anyway, with all your idiosyncrasies and wacky crap and all of the things that you don't do right, your imperfections. And those are the kind of relationships that I really honor. And that's why I feel I always have the courage to tell the truth. Now, in telling the truth to someone, it may not always be pleasant. And it may not be something that someone's ready to hear. So, I mean, I typically will check in and ask that question. Are you open? Is something bothering me? what's most important to me right now is our relationship, and I'd love it to even be more than it is. And so to do that, there's something I have to share with you. Would that be okay? But I want you to know that my intention is not to hurt you. My intention is to help our relationship become more, and a relationship become more. And even though that sounds, you know, that can sound a little wooey, but really, I mean, if you have great friends and you know, and a lot of them, and I believe, I don't know if there's a capacity. I don't think there's a friend limit. I know my father comes from a different generation, and he's always said, oh, I can count my friends on one hand, you know, and probably, you know, on half a hand as far as he's concerned. But I think that there is no capacity, or there's no limit to the capacity of friendship and love and the amount of people that you can truly love and have in your life in a most beautiful way. But it's going to take courage to initiate friendship, but it's going to take a lot of courage to develop that friendship, you know, and to mess up and to screw up and to still be in love with each other. And I'm talking about guys on guys or guys on girls. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about friends, real friendship. And again, I've always said many, many times that the way I can tell a friend is when they walk into my house, they open my fridge and they make me breakfast. And not everyone's willing to do that. Some people, they show up at your house and they'll, you know, they're more like a guest, and some people they'll just muck in. But I have found in my experience of traveling around the world and spending a lot of time in people's homes, that I think people find it refreshing when you show up and you just treat it like home, especially, you know, if they give you the nod. I mean, obviously, I expect everyone to be that way. And I normally tell them at the front door, you know, if I'm driving up to the house, I'll say, look, guess what? You're no longer a guest. And I said that I picked up a friend of mine, Carolyn Rodriguez. Her mom happened to be in town. This is a good example of just, you know, making something out of nothing. So Carolyn's mom is 83, I think she said, 82 or something like that. Anyway, she's in her 80s. Doesn't look it. But she phones me up and she says, hey, it's Yvonne. I said, hey, how you doing? She says, great. She says, I just want to let you know I'm in town. She lives in Ontario. I said, awesome. When are you coming over? She says, oh, no. I just promised Carolyn that I would call you when I'm in town. I said, well, yeah. I understand that, but that ain't going to work. I said, where are you at? She said, I'm at this hotel. I said, okay, well, I'll come over and get you. And no. And because of that whole imposition thing, and it's very typical of that age group as well, right? I said, no, you know, listen, you're not, you can't be in town and not come over. And, you know, we had some guests coming over already that night, you know, but to jump in the car and go and get her took very little effort. And she had a friend with her and we brought him back. And both these ladies are from India originally. And just, you know, coming in and making one of them tea, one had wine, and we, you know, made some food, and they didn't stay too long, but just knowing that the door is always open and that these people are in town, and there's two ways, right? If I'd have been a different kind of cat, right? I would have accepted the, oh yeah, no. We just wanted to phone to say hi. And what I said to her is, I said, guess what? You got to phone me from Ontario to say hi. But if you're in town, then it's obviously we're meant to get together, right? And so we did. And I had such a beautiful night, and she's such a beautiful lady. And again, but friendship does take effort, and friendship is something that for all of us, I think there's a deep yearning of true friendship, of people when you're with them, there are no masks, there's no hidden agendas, you're exactly who you were born to be, and you feel alive around their presence, but you're not always happy. You're going to get pissed off with them, and they're going to do things that upset you, and we'll talk about that right after this song. What do you think? Things I said, shoot an apple off my head, and a trouble that can't be named. Tigers waiting to be tamed, singing. Looking out across the lake here, it's just so beautiful. And I was allowing the friendships that I have. I mean, I kiss all my male friends. It's funny. I just went over a friend of mine's house, Wolf and Julie. They've been looking after some art for me because I've been traveling and moving into a new house. And, you know, he's German and Wolf. And just running, I gave him like 7 kisses on the face. And he always acts like he doesn't like it, but I know he does. And, you know, we have such a great friendship. And his wife is just the most delightful human being I've ever met. And I think about all those relationships. I mean, wherever I look into these, the sort of the archives of my friends, I see that really, I mean, friendship is really love. True friendship is like falling in love. And Khalid Gibran has a wonderful, in the same book, The Prophet, he talks about love. And he says, and he raised his head up and looked upon the people, and there fell a stillness upon them. And with a great voice he said, when love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in the clinging of the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from his husks. He grinds you into whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses, nor would be it possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love. If it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires: to melt and be like a running brook that sings in the melody of the night, to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully, to wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving, to rest at noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy, to return home at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and the song of praise upon your lips. Wow. Awesome, eh? What do you think? Time for a song?
When you lose something you can't replace,
again, part of this, what came up for me today is this this idea of creating really, really amazing friendships. And, you know, as kids, most of us were pretty adept at making friends. And we had the ability to walk up to someone and ask the question, will you be my friend? And we often lose that as we grow up more and more and more. But the ingredients, when you watch children, are doing that. I remember there was an article in Psychology Today about growing friendships, and they talked about this idea of how kids, you know, are able to make friends, how kids are able to do that easily. And they talk about the first one, openness. They said every friendship begins with some sign that two people are interested in becoming friends. So the first ingredient for making friends involves showing that we like someone and expressing openness to a friendship with them. Preschoolers will sometimes ask directly, "Want to be my friend?" But older children signal liking less directly. Greetings, number two. A very basic way to show openness is to greet potential friends. Shy children often have trouble with this. If another child says hi to them, they tend to look away and say nothing or just mumble in response. This happens because they feel awkward and self-conscious, but the message that they're sending to the other child is, "I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you." That's how they feel, and that's why they're not communicating. If this sounds like your child, they say, you may want to help your child use role play to practice greeting people. Break it down. Explain to your child that a friendly greeting involves making eye contact, smiling warmly, and speaking loudly enough to be heard. Saying the other person's name also makes the greeting more personal. After you've practiced, help your child figure out some people to greet in real life. Compliments. Look at this stuff. I mean, I'm doing this stuff. This is a psychologist talking about children, but you know, put yourself in your own situation. How often we could use more of this. And I teach a program called The Art of Connection, you know, where I'm really teaching people how to talk to each other again, which is crazy in one sense, but I mean, very fulfilling when you do it. And the end of a program, you know, people have spoken to 40 or 50 people and they just, you can feel them buzzing and popping because I think there's that deep craving. But knowing that we are the steward of this ship and someone's waiting for somebody else to go first. Remember, one of my great sayings is everyone's waiting for someone else to go first, right? So the idea of compliments, and this is something I'm very conscious of when I meet anyone, is to pay a sincere compliment. And, you know, I travel with Jen a lot. So if it's a woman, I have no issue telling them how beautiful their smile is or what great presence they have or whatever it is. But I'm always looking for a way to pay a compliment. So number three they talk about in this article was compliments. Compliments are another easy way to signal openness to friendship. It feels good to receive a sincere compliment. And we tend to like people who are discerning enough to appreciate our finer qualities. Brainstorm with your child some ways to compliment classmates. Keep it simple. Nice shot for the kid who's playing basketball. I like the way you drew the sky about a peer's artwork. Or your sweater is pretty for a child wearing a new outfit are some of the possibilities. But again, that crosses over to us, because I don't see any difference between this kid and us, right? And kindness. Hello, hello, the kick-ass life. It should be the kindness life, right? I mean, because it's all about being kind. I mean, it's so freaking easy to wake up in the morning and be kind. And in everything you do with every single person, to be a servant of other people. I love that. I love serving people. If you watch me in a crowd, you know, I mean, even when I'm a trainer, I've come off stage and I go for dinner, I'm going to make sure everyone is looked after because it's such a beautiful focus. It's going to make people and the connection. You know, often you'll see me do this at a restaurant. I'll often walk around and give everyone a back rub. So I'm standing there talking and there's a conversation going on and I'll just go around and give people a back rub and communicate with them. So kindness, small kindnesses can be another way of signaling liking. This could mean lending a pencil to a classmate, saving them a seat, helping them carry something, or sharing a lunch treat. Kindness tends to elicit kindness, and it's one of the best ways to begin a friendship. Research tells us that kind children are usually well-liked by their peers, but sometimes children try to buy friends by giving away money or valued possession. This definitely doesn't work. The other children will probably take whatever's offered, but they won't reciprocate, and they could lose respect for your child. Going overboard with gifts can come across as desperation rather than openness. Another caution, kindness is defined by impact, not intent. Sometimes young children get carried away with the hugging and kissing a classmate, or they insist that another child has to play with them. If the other child feels uncomfortable with this behavior, it doesn't count as kindness. You may need to help your child find less intrusive ways to express kindness. Expressing openness is the first ingredient to friendship formation because it casts a wide and metaphorical door of friendship, but it doesn't guarantee that anyone will walk through the door. To increase the odds that friendship will grow, children need to extend their friendship invitations to kids who are likely to want to come on in. That's where the second ingredient of friendship formation comes into play. See? So, you know, and what's interesting about that is, again, I'm just sort of sharing that with you because it was an article I read. And there's part two, it's about growing friendships, which talks about similarities, you know, having things that are in common, you know, and really sort of understanding the sort of this second part of it. And it's actually quite a fascinating article when it says that, right? It says the second ingredient of friendship formation is similarity. Similarity attracts because it's satisfying to children at both a practical and emotional level. At a practical level, it's handy to have a friend who enjoy the same activities they do. At an emotional level, similarity provides a sense of comfort and validation. You adults out there, don't switch off right now, because this is what I have to teach so many people, is how to find things in common. And so that's where great questions come in. When you start, what you're looking for when you're starting to build a new relationship is things you have in common. So you're going to have to dig around. And when you find it, it's like, whoa, you know, it gets easy and exciting. I've been talking a lot, but I want to come into this last piece because it looks pretty good. All right. Before we do though, what do you think the time is? It's got to be that time, isn't it? It's got to be time for a song. Come on.
I need you, tell you I set you apart. Tell me your secrets and ask me your questions. Now let's go back to the start.
In the article, they talk about refuting the magnet theory of friendship. Many children don't understand the importance of similarity for starting friendships because they have what I call the magnet theory of friendship. They believe they need to be somehow so wonderful that they draw friends to them the same way a magnet attracts steel. This often is what behind bragging. A child says, I can do this, I know that, hoping that peers will be impressed and want to be friends. The child is trying to communicate, I want you to like me. But the message that other children receive is, I think I'm better than you. Listen, oh, adult, how often, and you can listen to yourself on this one, when adults are talking about themselves, I do this, I do that, I'm great, blah, 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 right? It's the same for us. This is good stuff, right? He says, fundamentally, friendship is a relationship between equals. So the magnet theory is completely wrong. Instead of trying to get other kids to admire them, children need to find common ground with potential friends. So explaining the concept of common ground. This is, I've not seen this article before, but again, it's so much of what I teach and it's so good, right? Here's the way to the concept of common ground to your child. Draw two overlapping circles and say, this circle is you and the other circle is the other kid. The part in the middle is the overlap, is where friendships grow. If you're talking about something that's outside the overlap, that's true only to you and not to the other kid. That has nothing to do with the relationship. So ask your child, how can you figure out what you have in common with someone? Answers could include observing the other child, asking questions, or doing things together to create a shared experience. Finding common ground doesn't mean that your child has to do it to be a clone of everyone else. It doesn't mean that your child has never become friends with someone who has different background or different interests. It just means recognizing that friendships start with connection. Hello. To make friends, children need to develop and discover those me too areas. If expressing openness unlocks the door of friendship and similarity predicts who's most likely to walk through the door, the third ingredient of friendship formation is what encourages people to sit down and stay a while. All right. So there is a third part to this, but we're running out of time and, you know, but it's about really about fun. The whole next part is how you make friends, how you keep them, you know, planning, having fun. That's the same with us, right? I mean, we plan dinner dates all the time with our friends. It takes effort, you know, and we've had only home for a week, but we've had two rounds of dinner because, you know, we want them there. We want people in our life. It's going to take work. It's going to take, you know, making food. We often do potlucks to make it simple. But everything I just read is exactly what us adults, you kick-ass life practitioners, needs to be masters of building friendships. It's so easy. And by the way, we're going to play one last song here. Listen to this one.
Yeah, they were all yellow. I came along. I wrote a song for you. And all the things you do. And it was called Yellow.
That's Coldplay. And we're talking about friendship. And the one thing that I want to end with is that idea about the hard times, you know, having, you know, these fights with your friends. And it's good stuff, you know, and so often when you disagree, friendships dissolve, you know, and I see people pulling apart. And that's the juice. That's where the good stuff is. It's having fights and being out. It's like, you know, lover, right? I mean, if you've never had a fight with your lover, I mean, what do? You just end it. But I see a lot of friends, one disagreement. And typically because people don't have the courage to sit down and talk about it. And I'm willing to fight for that friendship. And so if there's something pissing me off or I'm upset by something, or if I got, here's a good thing to do. Never, ever say anything behind someone's back that you couldn't say to their face. And always speak about them as if they're standing next to you. And to do that, if you've got something to say, the only person to say it to is them, right? And that's the thing that, excuse that abrupt stop there. I wasn't paying attention. But that's the thing, right? That's the thing where we really have a chance as a human race to understand and start developing these friendship muscles where we can have many, many relationships. And I always say, if I get all my friends in one room, they're going to kill each other because, you know, they're very different people. They're from different backgrounds. But what I like is that what one friend brings out in me, maybe another one doesn't. And what I get from that other person, this one doesn't. So our commonality, the things we love to do are quite different. And again, because if you're living full range, you're gonna find very rarely that you're gonna find somebody who has all the ranges. You know, someone who likes to go to vegetarian restaurants and go hunting, right? I mean, that doesn't always happen, right? You find those two things, but you know, I've got friends that do both and friends that do one or the other, right? And so again, as you're looking at this lesson today, you know, starting with Khalil Gibran and, you know, love and friendship, and then, you know, look at the friends in your life. What have you got to clean up? What do you have to say to someone? And how do you take 100% responsibility for the friends in your life and the friends not in your life, or especially any disagreements, anything unsaid, anything that you think about but don't have the courage to talk about? Clean it up. The very worst that can happen is now you do hate each other and now you don't speak for good reason, and at least you know about it, as opposed to entering into superficial, stone-skimming, non-kick-ass relationships. They suck, and they suck the energy out of you, right? And I'm telling you, when you have great friends and everyone deserves them, it is effort in the beginning. But look what it is. Openness, kindness, compliments. It's finding common ground, having fun, and making time, setting appointments to get together. Easy as that, ladies and gentlemen. Not so hard, eh? Well, I hope you're having a good one. When you're listening to this, I'll be on a plane somewhere, flying to Kansas. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. Well, dear, what do you think? Am I nutty? Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with nutty anyway? Tell me, come on. What is wrong with nutty? I think some of you aren't nutty enough. What do you think? You know what I'm trying to do right now? You can probably guess. I'm actually trying to find a song because I thought I'd do this. Ready? Here we go. Beautiful song, eh? And if you've never seen this video, you have to watch it. Dream of once in a lullaby. Lemon drops high above the chimney top to where